All right, this is the ins and outs of opening a B&B, a guest house, an Airbnb, a VRBO, all the above, any of those. Starting in January, we're going to go through the whole series on even purchasing and making sure that whatever you get into, whether it's arbitrage or whether you own it, that your numbers work if you decide you don't want to do short term. That's so important when we're getting into short-term rentals, is that you have an exit strategy. You know, either you can, you know, put it over on the midterm or long-term, or you can resell it or whatever, but we're going to get into all that. But I was just telling a quick story. We have Lauren from Brazil. We have Adam from Columbus, Ohio. I am in the Sarasota, Bradenton, Florida area, and Mandy is from Scotland. And we in Canal Winchester have our famous, which is originally your famous, Brew Dog. We have their American brewery right in Canal Winchester, Ohio. They searched around the United States. They chose Canal Winchester, Ohio, of all places, which is my little hometown. And they built, they crowdfunded and built an amazing brewery and tap room. And so we are now known for Brew Dog across the country, and they make all of their beverages right there. And of course, their Elvis juice is the popular one in Canal Winchester. And then they ship it clear across the United States from there, and they're opening little pubs all over. We have a couple of small pubs in the Columbus area where Adam is, where it's actually a little Brew Dog pub. So they don't make the brew there, they just ship it over there from Canal Winchester. So anyway, so that's my connection to you, Mandy, is beer.
Beer is a good connection. Yeah.
I love it. I love it. So I want to tell you a little bit about what we're doing. And this is kind of exciting because Adam and I, and I'm going to let Adam talk for himself for a moment, and Lauren is brand new on our team. But Adam and I have been together for a while. And long story short, which we won't get into today, discovered that we had some connections from earlier on in his family and with me. And I didn't even realize that for a while, that I knew his grandfather quite well and didn't realize it was that Adam was the grandson. So now Adam and I have teamed up to do this particular podcast. And starting in January, we are going to merge it a little bit with all things real estate, because what happens in the short-term rental space is someone decides to either get out of the short-term rental because it just isn't working for them, or God forbid, over the past few years when COVID came along, a lot of short-term folks were really struggling and they hadn't planned on an exit strategy. And so that's what we want to talk to them about starting in January, is to make sure your numbers work for all kinds of things. Don't put yourself in that box where it has to make this much money or you can't do it. So anyway, so we're going to do all things real estate starting in January. And Adam and I haven't really come up with a title yet. So I get to talk to Adam to see if he has any ideas. I see him kind of smiling and shaking his head there. So we'll see. I kind of like all things real estate, but anyhow, we'll see. Because Adam is all about the lending. So anyway, I am going to hand it over to Adam for a moment and let him tell you what he does so that you know a little bit about each of us before we get started. So Adam, over to you.
Yeah, I got to say, I'm very excited to expand the scope of our conversation beyond short-term rentals starting in January, just because you're right. You do need to make sure that your numbers work for every which way, and don't, you're in this, you're in this for the money. Like you're not dedicated to one thing. Like maybe you have to change your strategy, you're not dedicated to one strategy. You may have to change that from time to time. And So I'm excited for that conversation come January. But a little bit about me, I'm a mortgage broker with LFG Lending. And we are based here in Central Ohio. We are dedicated to helping real estate investors fund their projects. We specialize in three kinds of lending: hard money, DSCR, and full doc commercial. A little bit about each of those. Hard money is what you would use to to fund a fix and flip project or a fix and rent project. So it's going to be short-term financing. You can use it to buy a property that might not be up to standards for conventional lending or FHA lending or VA lending, that kind of thing. You can get money in order to repair the property. And then the term's usually only 6 to 12 months in most cases. And then you can either sell the property or refinance using another product that we have called a DSCR loan. And that's a debt service coverage ratio loan. That's where we use the income and the expenses to qualify the loan rather than your personal income. It's really great for people that are in investing because we aren't looking at personal tax returns. We will pull personal credit, but I mean, aside from that, it's really mostly about the property. Although we we do run background checks. And so sometimes that gets a little sticky, which I just recently had a file that had that. Yeah, so sometimes that can be an issue, but we try and work around those issues as best we can. And sometimes we can get exceptions for those. And if not, then we can usually look at some other option. And then the last option that we have is full doc commercial. That's where we use the whole kit and caboodle. We look at your entire financial picture to go with a more traditional lender in the commercial space. Sometimes you can use them in the 1 to 4 family space, but typically they're meant for larger projects where you're buying a portfolio of houses or a commercial building, you know, an apartment building, that kind of thing. And then aside from that, I house hack, which I'm almost done. I've had a 10-year house hack, Kathy.
Hey,
10 years.
I almost have you beat because I house hacked as well.
So, yeah, it is.
Lauren and Mandy, do you both understand what house hacking is? Yes? No? Okay, it's
house hacking. Go ahead. So okay, house hacking is where you buy a duplex, so two units. You live in one unit and then rent out the other side. And I've been doing that for 10 years, and I'm over it. I love it. It's great. It's an awesome wealth building tool. I highly recommend it, especially if you're starting out. We, as many people that have listened to us in the past, you've heard that I had a property that I ran as a short-term rental. A buddy of mine ran it, and good dude, great company. It's basically stopped making money. I mean, the market has really shifted away from what we were, which is just kind of your run-of-the-mill short-term rental. And it moved into what I call the Instagram space. Like, everything better be perfect so you can put it on Instagram, because otherwise you're probably not going to make any money. So we decided to move into it. And we are this close to moving in. We were planning to be in by September 1st. So we're hoping to be in before
plans.
The end of the year.
The best laid plans. I get it.
Exactly.
Now, I am still house hacking, and my house hack is a little different in the fact that I actually partitioned off my home thanks to my wonderful Mark, who has that skill set. And I actually run a full-fledged bed and breakfast out of 3 of my rooms, like in the front of my house. And then I have my whole entire owner's suite in the back of the house. And I have been doing that since 2016. So I'm still house hacking, and I have no plans to stop, because that for me generates enough income. And those of you that are on this call, you get it. That generates enough income for me that I've actually paid cash for properties since then, just from the money that comes in from, you know, the guest house. So anyway, so it works. And you can make in real estate, you can make money so many different ways in real estate. I mean, there's 101 ways to make money with real estate. And I love that fact. So anyway, welcome, Adam. I'm glad that you're here. And so for all of the listeners, because we're recording this and this goes out on our podcast. And so for all the listeners, if you have general questions as to kind of how to get into the industry or where to look, or, you know, all of those things like what should the property look like, and what about zoning, and how do I find out if I can short-term rent or midterm or whatever, how do I work my numbers so that if the short term doesn't work, or let's say I'm in some place where the powers that be decide to vote and make short term no longer allowed, and maybe you did it for a while, now all of a sudden you have to come up with another plan, contact me and I can help you with all of that. But if you have any lending questions, get a hold of this guy down here. Oh, this way. Get a hold of this guy down here. Everybody, probably a different spot on everybody's screen. But anyhow, get a hold of Adam and he can help you through all of the lending questions and put you in the right direction. So with all of that, I want to go over to Lauren. And Lauren, tell us about what you do and what you bring to the table. We're so excited to have you here. Lauren has joined the team and she is now part of our team. This is her first call. So, I mean, we've interviewed her as a guest, but this is her first call as part of the team. So over to you, Lauren.
Sure. Yeah. So I'm in general just an Airbnb consultant coming in with a lot of creativity coming in from the traveler point of view. I've been traveling pretty much full time for 14 years, staying in Airbnbs, living in guest houses. I'm also an artist and a graphic designer. So I can do business planning. I have a course. I have many templates. I have many things for analyzing data, finding out if the numbers are right. I don't go into the lending or the same thing as Kathy with the zoning. But once we discover that your Airbnb is legal, I can also help with that. Then we go into looking at, you know, the competition. Who is your competition? How do you need to outshine them? What amenities do you need? What decoration do you need? How Instagrammable does it need to be to function? Maybe there's an airport. Maybe there's like a specific conference center. We really look at the environment and see what markets we can tap into. So I like to think that I come to it really from the traveler perspective. How can we attract the travelers? How can we find the travelers? How can we communicate to the travelers? And then of course, set up, you know, with ease and grace, because it can be quite stressful when you're furnishing an empty place. Maybe you're a beginner or a novice and you're not quite sure how to go about it. So I also bring in that little bit of a cheerleader aspect of like, this is fun, this is exciting, we're building a brand new business, you know? And then my specialty also is the automation, because we need to set up everything. So it's called hands-off hosting. Most things are done. And so the guests really don't need to contact you. And I feel like that's really a big jump to being successful, because you kind of skip that trial and error portion. So I would say that's kind of what I'm up to and what I'm really passionate about, because in 2016, I started my Airbnb business in California and I got the financial freedom. I was able to travel the world, keep my lifestyle going. So I wrote a book and created a course to help other people do this. And I recently added a global travel specialist to my skill set. So now if you want to Airbnb your home and then go traveling, I can help you A to Z with all of that.
She's the whole package.
But you guys are running a little bit more of those detailed legalities and, you know, banking things, which are fantastic, because I do not necessarily dive into those.
Yeah. And you know what? And it takes all the parts and pieces to really make it successful. And so I'm really happy that we have, of course, my skill set and Adam's and Lauren's. And that brings us to Mandy. So Mandy, you do a lot of things. The short-term rental is just a portion of what you do. And so, yeah. So tell us a little bit about your background and tell us some of the other things that you do before we get into the actual short-term rental questions. Just to give us a picture of who you are and what you bring to the table.
Okay. So background-wise, I was born and brought up in pubs and hospitality. My parents ran pubs in Manchester, and it was almost second nature for me to be in that environment. However, I'm an artist, and I went off to university to do a degree in art and design. Couldn't get a job in that space and ended up in retail and had a really successful career in retail, corporate retail, senior manager and leader. Thoroughly enjoyed it. So I've got a huge amount of various skill sets to bring to the party from, you know, from all those different areas. But underneath all of that experience was this frustrated artist. And it was my late husband who gave me the prod and said, "You've been really successful in business. You've been successful in your own business. Why not make money from creativity?" So that started me on a journey. And I launched my creative business in December 2019. I'm a coach. I have online programs, high ticket programs. I help creative women to learn how to build their creative businesses. I'm an author. So I'm a published author with low content books and fiction and more books in the pipeline. And this was the rest of it really was a dream. I like to synergize everything I do in my business. So everything needs to be connected because it's part of the customer journey. So when I stepped into doing hospitality again, it was because I wanted to bring the women that I work with to a place where they could do creative retreats. So that's how I ended up back in hospitality. I put a castle on my vision board in Scotland and set it as a destination, made it as a big goal. And unfortunately, my husband died in April 2020 at the start of the pandemic. Oh,
it was really, I'm so sorry, Mandy.
It was really tough, but he was the one who pushed me towards this business. So I felt that I had a duty to have some purpose in my life. So I decided to sell my house and move to Scotland and generate the wealth to buy this castle that I had on my vision board. Put the house on the market, sold it the same day, had to find somewhere in Scotland. And this property just happened to be a bit of a wild card. And I bought an ex-bank that was almost a miniature version of the very castle I had on my vision board. And I've spent the last, well, I spent a year renovating it. It was a mess. I got it for a steal. I paid cash for it. I got it for a steal. And I wanted, it's been a basically a blank canvas for me. So that's what I've created here.
And you're so creative that I'm sure that it doesn't look anything close to what it did when you found it.
No, not at all.
All right. Well, and before we go, you're going to have to put in the chat, you're going to have to put over there how we can get in touch with you and how we can see what it is that you're doing there. So that way we can connect with you because, of course, now all of our listeners are curious what it looks like. Now, before we go any further, and I always almost forget to do this, I'm going to make Adam a co-host just in case I get bumped off. He can let me back in.
Sure.
All right. And Mandy put it in there. It's called The Art. What is it?
TheArtBankDalbeattie.com.
Say that for me.
TheArtBankDalbeattie, DalbeattieDalbeattie, DalbeattieDalbeattie.com.
Very good. Very good. I love it. I love it. So now, how did you actually decide that you wanted to get back into the hospitality and have a short-term rental? Was it because of just the ladies coming and you were you like putting them up in other hotels or other properties?
No, I mean, the business is all, my coaching business is all online, and there just seemed to be, when you're doing a customer journey, it was understanding what's the next step in the progression ladder. And to, that's why the vision board and the castle are bringing them to a place to do creative retreats. So it kind of grew from that. And I knew I wanted to find a space to be able to run the retreats. That was the important thing. And then outside of the retreats, may as well do B&B.
Mm-hmm. Now tell me. Yeah, tell me how you actually found this particular property. What process did you go through that you finally said, this is the one? This is, I want to go look at this one. How many did you look at before you chose this one?
I wasn't even looking for anything at that stage. I was looking for a house that I could move to that had a studio so I could generate the wealth. And this house came up and it was between two other viewings. I was viewing three properties that day. And it was a bit of a wild card. My daughter had found it and said, this looks great. And I looked at it and I thought, oh, it doesn't look that great, but I'll go and have a look because it's in between two other houses. And I walked in it and it's got huge high ceilings with cornices and moldings, big skirt. It's a real old Victorian style house. But it was a bank, so everything's big in it, you know, so it had proportion and a sweeping staircase and a walled garden out the back. And I was like, you know what, this is, it was the feels. I knew it was the one. I also knew it had been on the market for 2 years and it had been empty.
Hmm.
And so we all know on this call that houses do not like to be empty.
No.
Yeah. No. They start to go downhill when they're empty. So did you ponder what kind of cost it was going to be for you to bring it up to speed, up to what you wanted it to look like?
Yeah, I did think about that. And I did have the cash because I owned my previous property outright. So I had the cash to be able to do it. And I thought, well, if I can knock the seller down in price, just to make sure I've got a little bit of flexibility. And that's exactly what I managed to do. He was just really happy to get rid of it. So I put in a cheeky offer. And he accepted it. So, and then really it was bringing that to life, and I costed it out, but unfortunately COVID really did send costs mm-hmm. through the roof in terms of labor, materials, and it did end up costing a lot more than I originally planned.
Wow.
So I'm curious, how does one finance something like that in Scotland? Is it, you get a loan from a bank, or is it a hard money loan, or what's that look like?
Yep, got a loan from the bank for the extra that I needed to finish it off, which, and I've got a brilliant bank manager. He came down to have a look. He loved what I was doing. So yeah, that's how we've managed to, so I've, you know, in terms of the equity on the place, I own most of it, but finished it off with a bank loan.
Cool. Very cool.
Yeah, that is very cool. Now, how, this was all right at the beginning of COVID. So what happened? Were you open in time before COVID hit and then everything kind of came to a halt, or were things okay for you?
Well, it was about 11 months after my husband died that we did actually decide to make the move. It wasn't immediately after he died. So it was 2021. We were still kind of in lockdown, but I could come and view properties, et cetera. So basically, we were renovating it through the period we were locked down, and we opened the doors for my very first retreat in April 2022. So the renovations were complete, everything was done, and I've been trading it since then. I had 9 retreats booked when I opened. And retreats are way more profitable than bed and breakfast.
Yes. Yeah, now, how many guests can you have at your retreat?
Up to 5. So it's a small and very intimate group of people. And obviously, there's a premium price to that because I'm quite an expensive coach. So, and they've got access to me for the days that they're here. So there is a premium price for that. But so it's between 3 and 5. I've got 3 rooms, but some of them sleep more than one person. So,
okay. The wheels are turning, Adam. You know how, what I'm thinking, because I've got, yeah, the wheels are turning.
How long is a retreat? And I guess how much time do you spend with them during the retreat?
So the retreat's either 4 days, so Friday to Monday, that's the weekend retreat, or it's a 7-day retreat, Friday to Friday. On the longer one, I spend less time with them because they've got projects to do and I've got guest experts coming in. Yeah, on the 4-day ones, it's pretty much mainly me, because they arrive by lunchtime on the Friday, leave by lunchtime on the Monday. It's not as demanding on my time. But obviously I've got a coaching business to run as well. So it is exhausting, but it's also exhilarating. So I don't actually mind. And obviously I've got staff. So I've got cook and cleaner that do the hard work for the meals and things. So.
Cool.
Well, but you hosting and doing the coaching, is that takes a lot out of you. And again, like you said, it's tiring, but energizing at the same time. I get it. Yeah.
Lovely. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, did you have to worry about any zoning issues with this? Since it was a bank, was it zoned? In the States, we would have something like that zoned commercially. And so at that point, all we have to do is file with whatever municipality we're in for whatever use we're going to do with the property. Is it similar in Scotland?
Yeah, because it was already a business, I had to apply for a change of use with the council, planning permission, which went through no problem. Because we also live in it, because it's huge, we live in it and rent out the rooms, then actually they came back and said, you don't need any planning permission. There you go. You can just trade it. But we now need a license in Scotland and the UK to trade any hospitality business. Yeah, which place all of the legal, you know, making sure you've got fire alarms and all the things that you should have. I did all of that during the renovations, but they brought this in just this year, actually, that everybody needs to have this license.
Okay. Do you have annual inspections you have to go through?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we do too. Lauren, in Brazil, do you have properties in Brazil or your properties in California?
No, I'm just a consultant.
Okay.
So I do some co-hosting in Virginia.
Okay. In Virginia. Okay. So, but you don't get involved in any of the zoning issues or anything like that with your
client? No, here in Brazil, they don't exist. Okay. You can build what you want on your land. Yeah.
Good to know.
You don't even have to have a bathroom.
Yeah. Good to know. I love hearing about all of these other countries and how things are the same yet how things are different. And I love that. Now, Mandy, how do you get your bookings other than or outside of these retreats? How do you get your bookings? Do you advertise on, like one of our big ones here is Expedia or booking.com. Do you advertise on those kinds of platforms?
All of them. We are on loads of them. So yeah, Expedia, booking.com, Visit Scotland, all of the main booking sites and some more bespoke ones because we are very dog friendly. So that's one. Okay. Yeah, we accept dogs. I have three dogs, soon to be four. So there's things that, and that's important in Scotland. People are coming on holiday up here and they're cycling or walking or bringing the dogs. So we go on, I'm on some sites, so dog friendly sites. Cycling sites, walkers sites, we're listed everywhere, but we're working with somebody at the moment looking at increasing our direct bookings to reduce the costs through some of these sites. Yeah.
Because of the commissions. I get that. Now, when you're on that many different channels, OTAs, online travel agencies, when you're on that many channels, do you have a channel manager that manages so that you don't double book those rooms at all?
Little Hotelier is a really good one. Yeah, because it links all of those sites and it's the main management channel. Yeah.
Yeah, I've looked at Little Hotelier, but I also looked at CloudBeds and I ended up choosing CloudBeds, but they're so similar. When you look at all the features, they're very similar.
Yeah.
Lauren, do you have an actual channel manager for your guest or for your clients, I guess, in for the ones that you co-host? Or is everything
No, I co-host four properties in Virginia, luxury vacation rentals, and we're just on Furnish Finder, VRBO, and Airbnb. And we do kind of a mix of the midterm and the short term.
So how do you make sure you don't get a double booking on some of those?
Yeah, we don't do instant book because we are luxury properties. So we review and request.
Okay. So the request comes in and you get to review the request and then you get to say yes or no. Okay, I get it. With me, folks can just book and it just pops up in my channel manager that I have a booking. So Mandy, you're like that, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I get that. Mandy, describe a check-in for us. Are you always there to meet your guests and show them around and all of that good stuff?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's important when you're hosting. If I'm not here for any reason, my sister, who is my cook, she comes and does it. But I've trained my 19-year-old son to do the whole, this is the dining room, and do all the stuff as well. So he's learning. He's going to be learning the business. He lives with me. If he's here, he's got to work.
I love it. Yeah, I tried that with my grandkids and they scooted out the door. They didn't want to work that hard. So I said, no, if you're going to be parked on my couch watching TV, you can help with the guest. And they were like, we got to go. Now, do you actually provide and serve a breakfast for your guest each morning?
We do. They can have a full Scottish.
Ah.
Yeah, which is, and actually I've had chefs stay in here who've said it's the best breakfast they've ever had. So yeah, or they can have Scottish smoked salmon with scrambled eggs. We're very much finding and sourcing local ingredients and using them. We use the local butchers, the local fish merchants, all of that. So yeah, it's important.
I love that. And then you said your sister is your cook, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So she not only cooks for the regular guests, but also for the retreats.
Yeah, she does that because the retreats are all inclusive. So she cooks okay. all the meals for the retreats.
I want to go on a retreat. I love that. Yeah, the wheels are turning because I live in my property. As we said earlier, I'm doing this house hack. And I have three rooms and, you know, I know. So, yeah, the wheels are turning. I'm like,
I'm curious. On the retreats, you mentioned that there's projects that they do. What kinds of projects do they do?
Right. Oh, obviously, they're coming here for a creative retreat. So I take them into the forest. We're surrounded by forests in Dalbeattie. It's
cool.
It's hugged by forest. There's a 327-mile mountain biking course around this area called the Seven Stains. So there's lots of people come for that. So I take them into the forest and we paint, channeling the energy of the forests. I saved all the old doors from the property when I put fire doors in, and I've got a door display in the walled garden. So they paint a panel on the door or a brick in the wall out in the garden. So I'm building an outside art display painted by retreat guests.
Sweet. I'm into it. That's neat.
Yeah, they get to do a collaborative canvas together or a different project, depending on the weather, because obviously we're in Scotland. It rains occasionally. Yeah. daily. So we have to, I've got indoor projects for them as well. Obviously, I've got an art studio. So we've got space to work in. I've got easels in place. I've got crafts in there. So they're doing all sorts of different things, but they're also journaling while they're here and learning. And I do, a lot of the ladies that come here have their own businesses or want their own businesses. So I'm mind mapping with them and business planning as well, but doing it creatively because my mind maps are on 4-foot pieces of lining paper and Sharpies and they're drawn on. So they leave with this roll of paper with a mind map on and a canvas. They're taking the stuff home with them and they're physically all in with it, I suppose. So yeah, it's a real interactive, and we're doing guided meditations as well and really connecting quite deeply to the creativity.
That's awesome.
I definitely want to go now. Yeah. Oh yes, that's all of that just sounds so wonderful to me. Wow. Yeah, the wheels are really turning. I have a gal that I'm coaching and she wants to do Whole Foods, and she wants to show folks, and you know, how easy it is to, you know, get away from all of this processed stuff and eat Whole Foods and be healthy. And she wants to show them how to shop and how to prep and how to cook. And she wants to do a retreat where they just come in, you know, for like a 3-day retreat, and it's going to be very hands-on. And she is going to physically have the retreat goers fix the meals with these Whole Foods and go home with all of those recipes and list on what they can buy to get away from all the processed foods. So I'm going to have to circle back and get in touch with her and say, when are we doing this?
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. I can see where this would be quite lucrative in so many different ways, not just the financial piece of it, but it is probably, again, this is your passion, Mandy. So, I can just see that where you said it's exhausting, but yet exhilarating at the same time, because you see the transition in these guests. Yeah.
I've had women now that have come for 3 or 4 retreats. They've come, they've had so much, and they've got so much from it. They've come back again and again to take it further and take it further. I had one lady go home, put her house on Airbnb, buy a camper van, and she's now traveling the country, painting different areas of the country, and she's loving it.
So she's decided to move on with her passion. I love that. Well, back to the actual guest house. I know that I love talking about what you're doing and how it is all coming together. But when we get back to the to the nuts and bolts, as they say, where do you get like your linens and your supplies? And do you have to travel far? Can that be shipped in? I mean, what's the process there?
There's lots available locally because, you know, hospitality in this area of the country, I think 52% of the visitors in Scotland come to the West Coast. So it's a big, so there's therefore there's supplies are local in Dumfries, which is only 13 miles away. And my linens are slightly different because my rooms are themed.
So tell us about your themes.
So I've got a Monet room, a Picasso room, and a Van Gogh room, and they're each of them done based on the artist's personalities. And I've done murals in every room so that there's a connection. I imported a sunflower chandelier from China for the Van Gogh room, so they're quite dramatic.
And of course, you have these beautifully high ceilings, and wow.
So now, I was very picky. I had a lot of the linens that the pillowcases were made for me. So in the Van Gogh room, there's a sunflowers and a Starry Night pillowcase, and I alternate them. And then we put white linens underneath, but everything's got this funky theme. Yeah.
I like that idea. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I did something kind of similar, but nothing to your scale, I'm sure. But mine is based on the book, The Great Gatsby. Oh, wow. And so every room is named after a character in the book. So I have the Nick Carraway room and the Jordan Baker room and the Daisy Buchanan room. Yeah. And then each one has a color theme to go with the character in the book. So I've done it, but I'm sure it's nothing as elaborate as what you're doing. I would love, if we go to your site,
you should be able to see there's quite a lot of photographs. I don't think the photographs ever do the rooms justice, no matter how, I mean, I've had a professional photographer. They still, people walk in the rooms and go, wow, the photographs don't do it justice. It gives you an idea of what the rooms are like. And it was fun doing them. And the guests love it. So my bed and breakfast guests are returning as well. They're coming back again. In fact, I've got one coming tomorrow night that was here just a few weeks ago, and they're coming back for another night because they're walking in the area. So, and that's what they love about it. And I give them a tour of the back end and the studio and the garden so they can see the artwork. And then the B&B guests, this is the synergy of this customer journey. Some of them book retreats.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. Now, are you finding that most of your guests for the retreats, I'll ask about the retreats first. Are most of those somewhat local, or are most of those not local?
Not local. They're coming
from. Okay. And then your regular B&B guests are probably not local either. Not local. They're visiting. No. Yes. Okay. Yes. I love that. Now, do you do any of the cleaning? Who does the cleaning?
No, I have a cleaner, Sophie. Yeah.
Okay. And
my sister helps as well because I am a nightmare. My standards are very high.
Okay.
White glove and the checking on top. That's me. That's me. So my sister's kind of used to that. So she is like in charge of it. This cleaning rotor's up in the understairs cupboard and they have to be ticked off. And I go and check the rooms. So I'm a nightmare. Yeah. But I think that's just the standard. I always say how you do anything is how you do everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
Have you had any problem guests, Mandy?
No, I've had lovely guests. No problems whatsoever, which is lovely.
Yeah. Our guests are very nice as well. And everybody tells us all of these horror stories. And we just don't have that. You know, we might have somebody that leaves a bigger mess behind than maybe the average, but there's been nothing that we couldn't handle. Mm-hmm. So I ponder when I get on some of these social media pages about short-term rentals and some of the things they're complaining about. I'm like, it doesn't resonate with me. Yeah. But
I can chime in there for a second. I think also because you ladies, the guests are staying on your property. So guests have a little bit of being on their best behavior when the guests are in a property and the host is 100 miles away. I think that's where you get some of the, you know, more sketchy, risky bookings coming in.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that does make sense. And also, I think if you present your property, again, like Mandy is describing, you know, I think the guests appreciate that. And I think that makes a difference.
We won an award. We won an award with booking.com for our high scores. We normally get 10 out of 10s. So we won an award for that. And that led to a TV company phoning me to ask me to go on a program. So I filmed that in March of this year, and that's being aired next month. So we're going to have that as part of our, obviously that's going to really raise our marketing. It's going to raise our profile because it's prime time TV in the UK.
That is so exciting. I love that. Well, we put in the chat how to get in touch with Mandy. I'm going to ask if Lauren or Adam have any questions for Mandy and anything that she's doing there. And I am very interested in your whole creative process that, either the coaching and all of that. So again, in the website, yourname.co.uk, is that the website for your coaching?
Coaching business, yeah.
Yes. Okay. So for our listeners, I'm going to, on the replay of this recording, I am going to put both URLs so that you can get in touch with Mandy. One will show her actual bed and breakfast, and the other one will show her coaching. And so please connect and click through on both of those, on each of those, and connect with Mandy. Yes, absolutely. If anything in this conversation has resonated with you, and if you're thinking about doing some international travel from the States, gosh, that would be a great opportunity to go to Scotland and meet Mandy and her team. So
I had one question. I was just curious. Do you get a lot of, is most of your travelers from the Scotland area or the UK area, or is it mostly international?
No, it's mostly UK, we've had quite a lot of international travellers because a lot of people do come to Scotland. In fact, I've just had a booking for November for 10 days for all of the rooms from international guests. So, they come from everywhere, but mainly to the UK, up to Scotland, because this is a holiday destination.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm. I actually have quite a few questions. Adam, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Are you sure? Because I got like five questions here. Okay,
do great. It.
So Mandy, I'm such a pleasure. I'm actually coming to you from the art studio in a large retreat center in Brazil. I'm taking care of for my friend, also doing lots of art and yoga and dance here. It's my friend is a professional dancer. But anyway, I just wanted to say I'm very much resonating and love that this is my first call. Mm-hmm. So I have a few questions for you. Number one is like, how have you done your copywriting or the description of your guest experience there kind of to get the like-minded, maybe more harmonic guest? Because I find that to be really important. When you put a general, very generic description, anybody might book it for convenience sake. But when you go that little extra mile and you kind of use some adjectives and you paint some pictures and you get the imagination and the emotion going, even you too, Kathy, with your rooms, you know, you say this is the experience I'm giving you. I'm curious how you approach that also as an artist and as a creative woman and now, you know, running these rooms in this castle.
My mini castle. I call it my mini castle. Yeah. Well, obviously, being a writer myself, I already had a lot of ideas, but I recognize what is my area of genius and what is not. So I hired a copywriter, a really good one. I interviewed, to get that across, because it was finding that the words to that describe the relief that we're going to bring to people when they come here and experience this. And I think somebody else can often get that better out of your head than you can. So I've had a copywriter write a lot of my copy on my coaching website, and the same respect really to the bed and breakfast and the retreats, because it's important. And when you read it, it's targeted at a specific customer. It's women over 35, ready, that are not fulfilled, that want to reach their full potential. And that's kind of who it's written to.
That's incredible. That's like the best answer you could have given, because I'm all day, every day talking to people, explaining, look, we got to change your listing description. We got to connect and paint the picture of what is the experience, you know, what is going to be achieved here for the traveler. I also was wondering, like, year round, do you change what you offer? Do you have like a winter strategy? Do you have more of a summer higher price strategy? I'm just curious if you mix anything up in your general Airbnb guest offer.
For the B&B guest offer, yeah, we're currently doing winter breaks, special offers, Halloween. I've got a fully booked for Halloween this weekend. So I'll be doing some pumpkin carving in the studio this weekend. Yeah. And we've got some winter breaks in there as well. So yeah, I think it's just about leveraging the audience that I have through social media. Who I've got quite a large following on social media on all the sites, and I leverage that audience to get the deals, really. Book direct with me and get these special deals. I mean, summer, obviously, we're at premium price. One of my rooms is a family room and sleeps up to five, and we get a lot of bookings because of that. And then I can ask a premium price because it's still cheaper than booking two rooms.
That's amazing. You just led into my next question, which was, how do you use social media, particularly Instagram as well, for lead generation?
I have two assistants, one in the coaching business, one in the B&B breakfast, that do that job. The VAs, their social media, they do all the scheduling and posting on all of my social media channels. We cross them because there's so much synergy between the two businesses. So we have an overall strategy and then an individual strategy for each business. And we're out on social media daily, three times a day in some areas, every single day in others. Yeah, I'm a huge social media. I'm just about to nail TikTok. We're moving into TikTok next.
That's huge. That is so huge, because I've started to do some Instagram for some vacation rentals. It's a nonstop game, and it's kind of the new, like you said, Adam, at the beginning, you laid the track. You know, people really want to have some memorable, you know, unique experience. Do you screen them through the DMs? Do you feel comfortable with direct bookings? That's kind of another question I had as well, is like, do you have a very legally binding contract in place? Do you have short-term rental insurance to insure those direct bookings?
Yes, yeah. We've got the short insurance in place. I don't get that many direct bookings. I do send a lot of them. If I'm not sure, I send them through the booking sites.
Okay.
Yeah. If I'm going to take a direct booking, I'll make a phone call and I'll screen them over the telephone call and take all the details and then send them out an email. And then we have a cancellation policy in place and all the policies that you need to protect your business. So.
Okay. That's so wonderful. And my very last question is, how did you come to craft the decorations? I know you painted the murals, which of course guided a lot of the colors and the sheets and the pillows, but like, how far did you take it? And what was your creative process to go and find all those pieces? Where did you source your furniture? Did you go thrifting? How did you put it together?
Well, each room was different from the start. So the Van Gogh room, I wanted to model it on his room in Arles, which is a very famous painting, his room in Arles in France. So you've got the oak furniture in there with the wicker chairs and the red bedspread. So we basically emulated, I've got that painted on the wall behind the bed, and then we emulated it in the room, and I found wicker chairs, and I was online shopping for all these individual pieces. I've even got the blue jug and bowl that are in that room on the vanity unit. So it was about picking up Van Gogh, and then I've got prints of Starry Night and sunflowers on the walls, and I took Starry Night from the painting onto the wall. That's the mural that I've done. So I kept Starry Night going onto the wall. So it's all about creating the theme. And then the ensuite bathroom, I had an artist make me some sunflowers from fabric. And I've had another artist paint me a sunflower painting for that. So it's a sunflower bathroom. And I painted the name on the door and put a little sunflower on it. So it was all about the artist and the vibe of the artist. And then Monet, and I mean, his room in ours as well has blue doors. So the inner doors are blue on the inside and the walls are violet, same as his room. Monet, I literally wanted it to feel like his garden, where with his water lilies and the beautiful colours. So we went blue right over the ceiling and the walls and then violet on either side. And then I painted water lilies on the sloping ceiling. And then the room is very luxurious. It's got a navy blue velvet sofa in there and it's got beautiful pinks and blues and lilacs in there. And the same artist that made the sunflowers made me fabric water lilies for the room. So the detail I've gone to in the rooms is quite in depth. And the Picasso room, I was like, well, it's got to be cubist, doesn't it? So I found cubist looking furniture. And it's when I gave the colors to my decorator, he nearly died. I said, right, that wall's orange, that wall's blue, that wall. And he was like, what? I said, trust me, they're from this painting, do it. And I know what it's going to look like. So it was about just really getting into the artist and their vibe, really. You know, I love Picasso. I wanted it. I want people to know it's the Picasso room. Mm-hmm. So yeah,
thanks that was so much. Really gorgeous storytelling. Thank you. Love that.
Yes, I love that too. I can't wait to check out the site. I've checked out your creative site and your coaching, but I haven't checked out the actual bed and breakfast site. So yes, I'm excited to do that and take a look. And like you said, the pictures are not going to do it justice, but again, I'm curious now that you've described it. I can't wait to jump over there and see what it looks like. Jeff has joined us in the audience. And Jeff, I know you did not get to listen to the entire interview, but if you have any questions for Mandy or for myself, Adam or Lauren, about short-term rentals, jump on and we'd be happy to answer your questions. Just put your question in the chat and we would be happy to answer that for you. But welcome. We're glad you're here. Any other comments that you have for Mandy? This has been wonderful. Mandy, thank you so much. I'm so happy that I got to meet you and see you kind of in person, you know, on a virtual call like this. This has been wonderful. And so thank you so much for coming on. And Adam, I'm headed back to Columbus this Thursday. So I'll be back in the groove up there on Adam and I we go to all the real estate meetups all over the Columbus, Ohio area. And so I'll be running into Adam when we get up there. Lauren, maybe someday we'll get to meet you in person. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Take a trip.
Yeah, Brazil is waiting for everyone. It is amazing paradise.
A lot of people will say Columbus, Ohio is the Brazil of North America. So
I do not doubt that.
It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, just bring your bikini and, you know, flip-flops and you're good over here. I do want to tap in one more question for Mandy if we have a moment, because I think it's a rare luxury that we get such a creative, artistic person with such a high level of artistic sensibility. So maybe you can, from your own experience, Mandy, just kind of explain, like, you know, you've gone into such detail in the aesthetics, and I find a lot of new Airbnb hosts, they're obviously not interior decorators and they don't maybe have a budget for an interior designer, and they get really overwhelmed with putting the pieces together. And I have a whole chapter in my book just talking about, you know, a buying strategy of like how to kind of decorate simultaneously with what you're finding. And I was just curious if you could express like how you found the aesthetics, such comforting, beautiful, grandiose aesthetics to affect the traveler's journey, the quality of the traveler's experience, and the feedback you're getting. Because some hosts don't realize that the beauty, making it beautiful is so foundational, you know? And I just want to encourage, maybe with your story, to inspire hosts to take that extra step.
Most definitely. And people appreciate the detail, the small details that you think are insignificant. So I have the soap in the bathroom is made locally by a soap crafter. And, you know, I on the website, I give recognition to all of the crafters and artists. And it is a walkthrough gallery here. So as you come in, you've either got my work on the walls or the work of my my students through the creative coaching. And everything has a price on it. And some of those prices are quite high and some are not. And people buy art here as well. So we're retailing as well. But it's about that little detail everywhere you go. When someone goes and takes a breath when they walk in the room, you know they're going to enjoy it, don't you? And that's what, and then when you bring the breakfast in, they go, wow, it's those things that are so important. They order a full Scottish on day one, but never on day two. I can tell you that.
Have you had any reviews or feedback where the person was just like, wow, I guess you have loyal customers.
Yeah, a lot of people have done that and gone on and give us 10 out of 10 and just gone, just wow, this place was everything. And, you know, you go to other places and you like them. And I love staying in all sorts of different places. But I suppose it's the personality, isn't it? This is me from the door right through all the rooms, right through to the back garden. And it's that. And then when they meet you and you chat to them over breakfast, I've stood in that breakfast room for 45 minutes chatting to people. Mm-hmm. That's the whole experience, isn't it?
Beautiful.
We travel with Bed and Breakfast on purpose because our hope is that we get to meet the owners. That's our hope. We do that on purpose.
Yeah. And people like that. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I love it. Mandy, thank you again for being on with us today. I'm definitely going to circle back and connect with you again. I know you have a book and I know you've got this whole creative process. And I don't know if you had a chance to check out what I do, but I have about 8 different lanes and you fit like 5 of the 8. So I'm definitely going to circle back and connect with you again. So thank you so much for being on. And Adam, thank you. And thank you for bringing your expertise in the lending. And Lauren, thank you for bringing your expertise in your coaching. I appreciate you being on as well. And any last comments from anyone before we go this evening?
Thank you for having me. Really, I've thoroughly enjoyed it.
And Mandy, I will send over to you and I'll tag Lauren and Adam in it as well. I'll send you the replays and you are welcome to use the replay in any way that you see that would work for you in any of your marketing. You can use it either in part or in full. If you want to just take a clip from it or however you want to use it, you're welcome to do that.
Okay, brilliant. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, everyone. We appreciate that you're here and we will see you again next time.
Bye.
See you guys. Thanks, everybody.
Nice to meet you, Mandy.
Thank you.